Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro. There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Thank you, Harley.
Thank you, Harley.
That was very nice of him to do that. To get up. Not only does he get up at something like 3:30 every morning to do his show, but Saturdays and Sundays are his days off, yet mm-hmm. Harley comes into the station here mm-hmm. and does that intro for us. Isn't that sweet?
I think so.
I thought.
We really appreciate it, Harley.
Thank you, Harley. Thank you. We are Bill and Allison Mancaro, and we're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
Always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we are never PC. Politically
incorrect.
We are PI. Yeah. But most importantly, we strive to be BC, biblically correct. I'm a native Texan. Allison, you are?
Native American.
You're Native American. But you are a Texas transplant.
That's true.
Yeah. But you are really a Native American. Not only were you born in America, but you are part Chickasaw, right?
Yes, I am.
On the Trail of Tears. From Tennessee to no man's land. Is that what they call Oklahoma?
Literally was.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, that's what they called it. Well, here's a trigger warning. Alice and I identify as non-binary. Non-binary. So, to remember that. We like to bookend our program with a verse from the Bible. Today is Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Puritan Thomas Brooks wrote, "The word of the Lord is a light to guide you, a counselor to counsel you, a comforter to comfort you, a staff to support you, a sword to defend you, and a physician to cure you. The word is a mine to enrich you, a robe to clothe you, and a crown to crown you." You know, the more you read the Bible, the more the Lord will speak to you. I mean, he promises mm-hmm. that. The more the Lord speaks to you, the closer to Christ you'll be. Remember, the Bible is God speaking to you, and prayer is you speaking to God. Mm-hmm. So the more he speaks to you, because the more you read the Bible, the closer to Christ you'll be. The closer to Christ you are, the more assurance of faith you're going to have. And the more assurance of faith you have, the more you will glorify God and enjoy him forever, which is the chief calling and happiness of man, says the Westminster Shorter Catechism. So there you are.
Well, I want to start the show off with a little quiz for Bill.
No. Now, we do not, I do have, I seriously, I have no idea what she's doing.
No, he doesn't.
I have enough trouble figuring out what I'm doing.
I'm going to read you the ingredients in a commercial product, and you see if you can figure out what it is.
Okay.
Enriched wheat flour, which is wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, thiamine, monotitrate, vitamin B1, riboflavin, vitamin B2.
This is all enriched wheat flour?
Folic acid.
Okay.
All the ingredients of this product. High fructose corn syrup, onions dried, salt contains less than 2% of cooked chicken dried, carrots dried, intensified soybean oil, mm-hmm. hydrolyzed soy protein, celery diced, parsley dried, yeast, spice, sage dried, yeast extract, turmeric for color, natural flavor, sugar, chicken fat, disodium guanylate, disodium in
audience is dropping off one by one.
Artificial flavor with BHA, BHT, and rosemary extract as preservatives.
I know exactly what that is. That's what I had for breakfast. I put all those ingredients together. I had to get up 2 hours early to do it. But boy, was it yummy.
Well, actually,
no, I have no idea. What
actually, what
that is a food product?
That is a food product that a lot of people ate on Thursday. That's stovetop stuffing.
Oh, yuck.
But we buy stovetop stuffing.
Do we? Please don't do it anymore. That's horrible.
I know. It's so much easier than making it yourself.
Oh, golly. Well, you know, speaking of Thanksgiving, Allison and I found an old clip of Rush Limbaugh. And he had something very interesting to tell you about. It's actually he's reading, and as he will explain, he's reading what George Washington said in the official first proclamation of Thanksgiving. And listen to this and see if, now Rush will talk about it after he reads it, but see if you can tell what's missing in this proclamation that we all believe Thanksgiving is all about.
George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation. Here it is. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So the first paragraph of Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation was essentially thanking God for the Constitution. It was. Now, you don't smirk in there, Dawn. That's exactly what it was. Washington was saying we owed God a debt of thanks for our freedom and for our nation and our Constitution. He continued, "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us. And generally, to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, A.D., 1789. Father of our country. There you have it. That's the first Thanksgiving proclamation. There's nothing in there about the Pilgrims. There's nothing in there about the Native Americans. There's nothing in there about a feast. There's nothing in there about communal living and socialism. There's nothing in there about syphilis and starving. And there's nothing in there about anything that you think Thanksgiving is about. George Washington, and a number of references to the Almighty and to God. Why, if a president read that today, the ACLU would file suit. A number of other groups would claim oppression and having to listen to it, having it forced upon them.
That was Rush Limbaugh reading and commenting on George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thanksgiving was not designed, nor is it supposed to be, about the Pilgrims and about, you know, having dinner with the Native Americans and oppressing the Native Americans. It has nothing to do with that. Okay? Nothing to do with that.
Okay, well, since we're still talking about Thanksgiving, I want to talk about something that some of you might have had this past Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. And if you had tofurkey, you might want to listen to this story. It's often served as a vegan main course at Thanksgiving. It's a plant-based meat substitute. And a new video has surfaced showing how tofurkey is made. And it is leaving vegans disgusted and horrified. The footage is disgusting. And it has many vegans questioning whether or not they will ever be able to eat tofurkey again. Turns out that the ingredients in a batch of tofurkey is 130 pounds of wheat gluten, 56 pounds of silken tofu puree, 23 pounds of canola oil, water, and spices. It begins in a giant mixer where it looks like cement before it evolves into a puke-colored batter. The stuffing is being made at the same time and pressed into the center of the meatless dish. The packages of tofurkey are individually wrapped and sealed before being steam cooked at 300 degrees. And this is wrapped in plastic. And they reach a deeper brown color. They're frozen and then they're packaged with plant-based gravy to be shipped out to stores. Online commenters to the story didn't hold back. Some of the comments were, "That doesn't look fit for human consumption. That is the saddest and most depressing thing I've seen in a while. Ultra-processed so-called healthy food. What is the casing it's being cooked in? Is that plastic wrapping? Toxins." Hmm. Tofurkey is manufactured. They don't hire chefs. They hire factory workers and engineers. Disgusting. If you want to be vegan, grow a garden.
There you go. Want to be a vegan, grow a garden. That is repulsive.
Isn't it?
Well, that's a war on American farmers.
That's true.
And they...
Well, except, well, no, these are farmers' products. Wheat.
Well, that's true.
Wheat okay. Gluten.
It's a war on turkey producers. How about that?
Well, and tofu is made from soybeans, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay. You got me. You got me. That's one for Allison. Oh, my. We've got a lot. Speaking of getting things, we got a lot to cover. We've got a stack of stories here. What we try to do is find stories that you may not have seen or heard about. When we do find a story that is probably fairly well known, we try to dig deeper and see what's really going on. Because, you read a government story, and, you know, you read something put out by the government, and our reaction is kind of like the same as George Carlin's.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
There you go. So that's our motto here. That's it. The Hill Country Patriot, your information station. One of the stories that came out, just came out the other day. Republican Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, not to be confused with the president they were going to be talking about later in the show, some very, very interesting information about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which was noted just the anniversary was just the other day, November 22nd. But anyway, this is not the same. This is he's a Republican. He's from Louisiana. And he's very sharp and very funny and very, he can, I certainly want, if I were a Democrat, I wouldn't want to be testifying before him. But he grilled some top officials in Congress about the number of migrants and unaccompanied children crossing the border illegally. And what we're going to hear is Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana grilling Cardell Morant, the director of the Center for Countering Human Trafficking, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security. So here's Senator Kennedy grilling Cardell Morant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Morant, since President Biden's been president, how many non-American citizens have come into our country illegally or on the basis of a claim of asylum?
Thank you, Senator. HSI is an investigative agency.
Do you know the number?
No, Senator.
You're a senior member of Homeland Security, are you not?
That's correct.
Does anybody know the number? None of you know the number. Try 8 million. Now, of that 8 million, how many were children, Mr. Morant?
I don't have that number.
You don't know. Does anybody know? None of you know. Isn't that special? Let's assume half. Okay. 8 million is 4 Nebraskas. Right? 4 new states. Let's assume, I don't think it's as high, half of them are children. How many of those 8 million people are still here? Do any of you know? Okay. How many of those 8 million are claiming asylum? You don't know? How many of them claim asylum and don't show up for their hearing? Nobody knows? How many of them claim asylum, don't show up for the hearing, and President Biden has deported them? You don't know? How many of them have claimed asylum, shown up for their asylum hearing, and been denied asylum? And been deported. You don't know.
That was Senator John Kennedy quizzing a top official of the Department of Homeland Security who hasn't a clue to any of those questions. It's a great description of America, somebody once said it. Andy's left town and Barney's in charge. You know, but if socialism is so good and capitalism is so terrible, why aren't these migrants' caravans heading to Venezuela? Venezuela doesn't have a problem with illegal immigration.
That's right. Yeah. Well, coming up after this quick break, we're going to be talking to the executive director of the Hill Country Wineries Association, and we're going to learn about national publicity that Hill Country Wines got.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
Welcome back to the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show, and we're happy to have you here. We're
thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome. I had a vehicle delivered yesterday from Dalhart to Kerrville, okay, which is about 540 miles. And I arranged for this vehicle to be delivered a couple of months ago, but we were busy doing other things, so I said, well, you know, put it off until mid-November, something like that. So the other day, I get this text saying, your vehicle will be picked up on such and such a date, and your driver will be in touch with you to find it so he can tell you when he's going to deliver it. I'll tell you what, the name of the company is Easy Auto Ship, okay? And they were rated by Forbes as the best one to ship the type of vehicle that I have, that we have. These idiots, without consulting me, because I never would have approved this, these idiots picked up the vehicle this past Thursday, Thanksgiving.
Interrupting our friend who is storing it for us from his Thanksgiving dinner.
He had to leave his Thanksgiving dinner and drive. He lives outside of Dalhart. He lives about 22 miles, something like that, outside of Dalhart. He had to drive from his house where he was having Thanksgiving to the barn where the vehicle was stored because these idiots assigned the, it's not the driver's fault. They assigned the driver to pick him up on pick up the vehicle on Thanksgiving Day, and it was supposed to be delivered to my auto repair shop here in Kerrville. And I'll give them a shout out, Moss Motors. When do you think they showed up to deliver it? I get this phone call yesterday.
Well, Moss Motors is closed. There's nobody there.
And I said, well, of course they're closed. It's a holiday weekend.
Well, nobody told us.
Nobody told you it was a holiday weekend? It's called Thanksgiving. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Maybe you're not from this country and you've never heard of Thanksgiving. So they said, I said, you'll have to store it then until they're open on Monday.
Oh, we can't do that.
Well, then you'll have to keep it on the truck.
Well, the truck is scheduled for other deliveries.
It's not my problem. It's your problem.
Well, can't we deliver it to your house?
So they tried.
Yeah. You can try to deliver it to my house, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to deliver it to my house. Now, the vehicle's not running. It's been stored for 30-some years in a barn. So that's why I want to deliver to Moss Motors. Okay. So you can deliver it to my house, but you are going to pay for the towing. And you're going to pay me for my trouble that you're causing me. And I will determine what that rate is later. Well, they have no choice, so they show up at our house. The problem is our house, it's a 65-foot trailer, and our house has a long, kind of, not steep, but
somewhat steep,
angled driveway with a turn in it. And the driver says, I can't get the vehicle down the driveway. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what. And then I get a brainstorm. I said, let's just drop it off at Moss Motors and we'll put it in the parking lot. So I met him there. It worked out fine. There won't be any towing involved. They don't have to reimburse me. Well, they should for all the hassle I got. But what idiots is this Easy Auto Transport to schedule a pickup on a Thanksgiving Day and a delivery to an auto repair shop where every auto repair shop in town is probably in the United States is probably closed. So that was my futility. I don't know what you got, Allison.
Now we're talking today with January Weese, who's executive director of the Texas Hill Country Wineries. They just got some big national coverage. An article in the Washington Post by the food columnist. His headline was Texas Hill Country Emerges as a Wine Region. And that was published just under a month ago.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, January. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, this article, he talks about, he came out and saw wineries in Hill Country. And one thing he talked about was a storm that went through Stonewall, which, as we all know, is in Hill Country. They had straight line 80 mile per hour winds, and it flattened 8 acres of a winery.
Yes.
Snapped the steel posts supporting the vines and bending tree trunks at a 90-degree angle just above the ground. But the owners, cavalry arrived the next day. Neighboring wineries sent vineyard workers to help. Club members showed up to volunteer. And it took just 2 days to bend the vines upright and install new trellising. And that was, eight acres. They did it in 2 days. Yeah, the owner said, we had two miracles. The spring had been cool and unusually rainy, and so the vines were rejuvenated. And the second miracle was the community really came together and helped.
Yeah, this industry across the nation is, you know, I say this all the time, we're farmers first, right? They're they're grape growers and farmers, and and that's just a community all of its own, no matter what you're growing. And farmers tend to stick together, and I've seen it more than once in this industry when somebody needs something and, you know, something's broken or somebody needs to borrow something or needs a quick crew to come help, they show up, and it is just, it's amazing what the community that they've built and what they do for each other. And this is just one great example. And the Bilger brothers out there are two of the guys that would be the first to show up for anybody else. And so I think everybody out there knew that they needed help, and they weren't going to miss that opportunity to do that for them too.
I think it's so impressive that they help each other. I mean,
you
would think that they're competitors, but they are to an extent, but they support each other.
They do. And, you know, they are, I mean, at the end product, right, all the wines and the different tasting rooms, they are competitors. But like I said, they're, where it all starts is in the vineyard, and they're farmers, and that's the core of who they are, is helping each other.
And the columnist went on to say, I got a sense of a young, confident wine region eager to tell the rest of the story to the world.
Yeah.
So Hill Country, as we all know, is a tourism center for Texas wine because it's so close to Austin and San Antonio. And they've had some unusual weather the past couple years. This summer we had how many days of over 100 degree weather? And
too many, way too many.
Oh yeah, I think it was 40.
I think it was, yeah.
And then a couple years ago, you know, we had that deep freeze. So somebody asked Ron Yates, is this a sign of climate change? And Ron Yates, who owns two wineries and is a winemaker, said, hot, cold, we get it every year. It's just Texas.
It is. It's always something. And the industry here is prepared. I mean, not necessarily prepared specific for these specific events, but they're prepared that something is going to happen. If it's a late spring freeze, if it's one of these, you know, freak hail storms on a, you know, middle of the week kind of a thing, those freezes during the winter, too much rain, not enough rain. It is every year.
Yeah,
it's different.
Exactly. And like he says, this is Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we understand you have an event coming up starting, I believe, Monday. Is that correct?
We do, yes. The Christmas Wine Affair, which is a great opportunity to come out and visit all of these, you know, all these wineries that are mentioned in, or a lot of these wineries, I guess, that are mentioned in the article, and a number of new wineries out here. The event is November 27th, which is Monday, through a Friday, December 22nd. It's about, 26 days. Mm-hmm. And you can, when you purchase a ticket, you can use that every single day of the event to come out and visit. We've got over 40 wineries participating, actually over 45 this time.
Great.
Participating. And with the ticket, you can visit 4 wineries a day. And so it's a great opportunity to kind of spread that out over the next 3 weeks and visit some wineries, taste some wines, get some Christmas presents, different things like that.
Well, we're talking with January Wiese, who's the executive director of the Texas Hill Country Wineries. January, how can people get tickets for the wine trail?
Yeah, so you'll visit our website, texashillcountrywineries.org, and you'll go to the Christmas Wine Affair up there on the drop-down from events, and you can purchase either a couple's ticket for $100 or an individual ticket for $65. And like I noted, that gets you, you can visit all of the wineries one time during the event, four wineries a day, and then it also includes a 15% discount on 3 bottle purchases at each of the wineries. And those couple's tickets can be used for any 2 people, so husband and wife, sisters, mother, daughter, cousins, whoever you want to bring out there with you.
Well, everybody who's ever been to a tasting around here knows what a bargain that is. I mean,
it is.
A lot of the tastings are, we actually saw one for $30, but most of them seem to be in the $20 to $25 range.
So, they do, yeah. So, and this benefit, like you visit 4 wineries in one day and you've already,
exactly,
you know, received the value of that ticket.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Do you have any other events coming up other than the Christmas Wine Trail?
We do, actually. December 3rd, we have a winemaker dinner at Hill & Vine in Fredericksburg. We call these co-op winemaker dinners because we have 6 of our member wineries who will be participating. It's a perfectly paired menu with a wine from each of those wineries from the team at Hill & Vine. So all of those events are listed under events on the website, and you can see each of the passport events there and then all of the THCW-hosted events to check out those as they pop up.
We were talking to January Wiese, who's executive director of Texas Hill Country Wineries, and you can go to her website, texashillcountrywineries.org, and you can buy your passports and you can get information on the winemaker dinner.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, January, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, here's some real recent headlines. Lawmakers are working to make the brandy old-fashioned Wisconsin's cocktail.
Why? What does that have to do with Wisconsin? I would think you'd want a cocktail made with cheese.
Joe Rogan reveals he poisoned himself by eating too many sardines.
Why would you even admit that?
A bear stole a taco delivery from a Florida family's porch and came back for the soda. All this was captured on their doorbell camera.
Well, you know, that does remind me of that Ruidoso story the woman told us.
Oh, the bear?
Yeah. She lives in Ruidoso, New Mexico, which is in the mountains, and they have a lot of bears. And she left the window, not the screen, but the screen window, but just left the window open with a scented candle on her kitchen counter. And she came back, and a baby bear had broken through the screen because, attracted by the scented candle, found a pot of honey. It sounds like a cliche, but found a pot of honey. And she said, the bear is sitting there on the floor eating this honey, and there's honey all over the floor, all over the counter. And I told her, for me, I just would have walked out and let the bear finish the honey. I mean, how do you clean up honey? That's going to be a mess, but the bear could do it.
Okay, now this is another real headline. The largest musical instrument in the world is underground in a Virginia cave, the Luray Caverns.
Cool.
Now, we have been there and we have seen it.
Hmm.
It's the stalagpipe organ, spans 3.5 acres and has 33,112 pipes.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well. Coming up after this break, you're going to learn about some new IRS regulations that very possibly will affect you.
This is the official state song of Texas. You're hearing Texas, my Texas.
Texas, oh Texas, Texas,
oh Texas.
Wonderful and great, boldest and grandest, withstanding every test. Oh, empire wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh Texas, your freeborn single star sends out its radiance to nations near and far. Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and worth throughout the ages.
peace and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and worth throughout the ages long.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Paper.
We are the first couple of Texas Radio. And you can go to our website and download our past shows, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. And we're proud to be here on the Hill Country. Patriot, your information station.
Now, we told you before that quick break that starting this year, there's a new IRS rule that might affect you. It requires that third-party payment networks like PayPal, Venmo, Amazon, and Square issue a Form 1099-K when a user receives more than $600 in gross sales from goods and services, not net, gross. Earlier, the threshold of gross sales was over $20,000. So see how dramatically that's changed?
Wow.
As a result, there are going to be many taxpayers who never received Form 1099-Ks, but they will start receiving them this year for this tax year. And this is going to exacerbate confusion among some taxpayers, such as gig workers who may not understand the taxability of their payments and taxes owed. And the IRS has calculated that this new rule would result in 44 million Form 1099-Ks being filed in 2024. That's an increase of roughly $30 million.
Well, they have to fund. They have to fund us sending all of our money to Ukraine.
Hey,
if the government can simply print money, Allison, why do we have to pay taxes?
There you go.
Huh. Yeah. Well, talk about the government, eh? Here's a. An interesting story that crossed the Bill and Allison wires lately. Carly talked about it. I know you've heard about it on the real media, not the drive-by media, of course, but the real media. Speaker Johnson has released all of the January 6th videotapes of the so-called insurrection, which proves there was no insurrection, proves that the Democrat January 6th committee was a complete lie, and it was a hoax. Actually, the Capitol Hill police, Alice and I used to work in Capitol Hill, so we know the building very well. We were there for many years. We know the congressional buildings, we know the Senate buildings, we know the Capitol quite well. And Capitol Hill police helped the demonstrators. They opened doors. It's video evidence. But the Democrats kept that from the American people. Even McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, who was booted out as Speaker, in part, they booted him out because he would not release all the tapes. He released a bunch of them to Tucker Carlson, but he did not release all of them that clearly show that there was no insurrection at all. It was staged. There were, where have I got that article?
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
There you go. That's George Carlin saying that. And I'm looking for an article that goes with what I'm talking about. I'm not finding it else. Oh, okay. Here it is. Yeah, the whole insurrection, so-called, was not an insurrection at all. But now people want to, Democrats want to keep Trump off the ballot because he fomented an insurrection. This is a lie by the left to destroy American freedom and Donald Trump, obviously. Everybody who helped create this fake insurrection are criminals, and they are the insurrectionists who need to be arrested. There's part of the video is Nancy Pelosi and her daughter's J6 production crew. This will be next. J6 production crew being led around the Capitol. You can actually see video of her being led around the Capitol with her. She's in the media. And so she's got a production crew videotaping. And you can see that in the media. And Senator McConnell called January 6th a violent insurrection. And then this the turtle man fought to put Cheney and Kinzinger on the January 6th committee. And McConnell called the January 6th certification his most consequential vote. He was in on it, all of it. So that's what you got leading the Republicans in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. Now, it's not only Nancy Pelosi and Democrats that didn't want the videotapes of January 6th released. It was rhinos like McConnell, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Kevin McCarthy. They didn't, and others, didn't want America to see the truth of what really happened on January 6th because they either set up the coup or they were complicit in it. Democrats and rhinos wanted to certify a fraudulent election, and by doing this, they try to prosecute President Trump and also convict innocent Trump supporters who've been rotting in jail for years without trial. Completely unconstitutional. But what are they doing about it? Well, we know from countless sources that the FBI was on the ground on January 6th, hiding within the crowd. Ray Epps urged the protesters to go inside the building. We have video of that. Following day, somebody opened the doors and encouraged the protesters to enter it. Kamala Harris says January 6th was, it was like Pearl Harbor and 9/11, worse than 9/11. So the people sitting in jail now are political prisoners, like some third world banana republic. And very similar to other ruthless dictators, Joe Biden wanted to stifle those questioning the 2020 election results. He publicly arrested, SWAT teams, anybody remotely close to the Capitol building to use as examples. The protesters didn't harm anybody, yet the courts have convicted them as domestic terrorists who no longer belong in society. 700 people have been sentenced. Of those 700, two-thirds were given prison sentence, with some receiving a sentence of 22 years behind bars. And did you know about a half a dozen people who were involved, who were there on January 6th, didn't really do much of anything, committed suicide, about a half a dozen people, because of they were hounded to death. So they're political prisoners. They're suffering under the brutality of the Biden regime. It's no different than someone like Kim Jong-un arresting somebody for not hanging his picture on the wall of their home and explaining to the public that they were an enemy for their actions. So the neocons on both sides were in on the planned and staged riot. So we can't allow the Biden regime to lock up those who disagree with them. It started with the January 6th protesters, but soon they're going to come after anybody who disagrees if they believe they can get away with this perverse abuse of power. I don't have time to play this. No. When we come back, talked about, what I have time for is just to talk about it and during a House Homeland Security hearing this past Wednesday, Congressman Clay Higgins from Louisiana, Louisiana's got a good congressional delegation, attempted to ask FBI Director Christopher Wray about two vehicles he described as ghost buses that arrived in D.C. in the early morning of January 6th. We have the audio of that, but it's probably too long for us to play now. So maybe we'll get to it later on in the show. But the bottom line of this hearing, Ray refused to answer. The director of the FBI refused to answer. He claimed he didn't know what a ghost bus was, and Congressman Higgins says it was a very well-known term in law enforcement. What it means is these were buses with no insignia on them at all, with FBI agents, provocateurs, dressed as Trump supporters that were bussed to January 6th to rile up the crowd to get them to commit what they call insurrection, to rile up the crowd. They opened the doors to the Capitol, let them in. The video is very clear about this. It's fake, 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 just to get Donald Trump and get him off the ballot. So that's what we got. Okay. What you got, Allison?
Well, do you want to hear something funny?
Yes, I do.
Okay. A cop in Australia was given 100 hours of community service for threatening to shoot his colleague if he revealed spoilers to Top Gun Maverick.
A cop?
A cop.
Must have been part of the ghost buses.
Exactly. Canada's capital, Ottawa, known as the city that Fun forgot, is hiring a nightlife czar to teach government workers how to order a martini. About 25% of the metro area's residents work in the public sector. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome. Wow. Wow.
Okay. Face it. Babies stink. To help, Dior has created a $230 scented water to put on babies' chubby little wrists. The perfume is part of Baby Dior's skincare line, which sounds like an SNL sketch, but it is real and sells a $95 cleanser.
$95.
$95. Well, that's to go with a $230 scented water.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Well, we're looking at a news break coming up, and when we do come back, we have some information about the Kennedy assassination that you will not believe, and not many people know about this. It's been very buried, but we, Allison and I,
dug it up.
And we're also going to be talking about events going on in the Hill Country when we come back from the news, things that you want to know about for you and your family to celebrate and to get participate in. And we might even talk about our brand new dog. We got a brand new doggy on Saturday, and she is quite remarkable. So we'll maybe get to that. Not that we'll spend a lot of time on it, but she deserves a little mention on the Bill and Allison show.
And we might bring her in the studio with us sometime.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that. So that's.
But you won't know she's here because she doesn't bark.
But yeah, we have her had her almost a week and she hasn't said a word, she's so smart she could probably talk, but haven't heard a peep out of her. But except once yesterday when a workman was in the backyard and she started growling and barking at that. But, we are Bill and Allison. We are coming back right after the news with events that you'll want to know about in the Texas Hill Country and some, as I said, unbelievable and very credible information on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, as we promised, something that just blew me away. On November 22nd, 1963, as most everybody knows, John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, was murdered while riding in a motorcade with his wife Jackie in Dallas. Now, according to a Gallup survey that was conducted very recently, participants were asked, do you think that one man was responsible for the assassination of President Kennedy, or do you think that others were involved in a conspiracy? Well, 65% of the people polled said they believe that other people, in addition to Lee Harvey Oswald, most likely collaborated in the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
Yeah, and of course, the official report, the Warren Commission report, said that it was just Oswald and nobody else. And that's what the official government position was. And now 65% of Americans say, "Yeah, don't think so." So those that responded to the survey who said they believed there's a deeper conspiracy behind Kennedy's assassination were asked to identify the specific people or organizations they thought were involved. Most of them said the federal government, and specifically the CIA. 11% blamed the mafia, and 6% pointed fingers at the FBI. Kennedy did say shortly before he was assassinated that he wanted to rip the CIA into a million pieces. And as Senator Chuck Schumer told Donald Trump, don't mess with the intelligence people, he said, you won't win that, and they will kill you. I mean, we were talking to a former spook in Virginia, we talked to him about another CIA agent that we knew, and he was accused of being a traitor to the United States, He wrote a book exposing people, and this former CIA agent told us that because of the book that Philip Agee wrote, CIA agent, that his station chief was murdered because he was outed in the book. And he said to me, we tried to get Phil Agee for years, meaning they wanted to kill him. Now, Phil Agee was not tried for anything. He was never indicted. He was never put on trial. He was never found guilty. He was never sentenced. And he may have done what they said he did. I don't know. But the CIA agent told us that they wanted to kill him and would have killed him if they could find him.
Well, we found him.
We found him. That's what I said. I said, we found him easily. No problem at all.
He was living in exile in Havana, Cuba.
Yeah, we had no problem. We didn't look for him. It just happened to be that we were in Havana on a special dispensation to be there. He shows up at a small dinner party because he's a friend of ours. And that's how we got to know Phil Agee. For a CIA agent to just say blankly, we would have killed him if we could find him. We searched for him. I guess they should have hired us. But anyway, getting back to JFK, so my point of that was, the CIA, if they wanted to kill somebody, they'd do it. And, of course, Obama killed a lot of people without trial, just ordered them killed, mostly what he thought were terrorists, but still. Anyway, getting back to this, 2 days after JFK's death, Lee Harvey Oswald was killed by Dallas nightclub owner Jack Ruby. Okay. Now, what you're going to hear, the audio is not very good. It was recorded in 1964, probably. But the audio is very scratchy. So I want you to listen. This is a very short, only 32 seconds. The only time Jack Ruby has talked about this. And this has been buried for years. And we dug it up, and you can find it if you search for it hard enough. But here is Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald on national TV, the first time a murder was ever broadcast live on TV. Once you hear what Jack Ruby has to say, I'm going to there come back and read to you the transcript if you can't quite make it out. Here is Jack Ruby being interviewed on TV.
Everything pertaining to what's happening has never come to the surface. The world will never know the true facts of what occurred, my motives. The people that had so much to gain and had such an ulterior motive for putting me in a position I'm in will never let the true facts come above board to the world.
These people are in very high positions, Jack?
Yes.
What Jack Ruby said was, everything pertaining to what's happening has never come to the surface. The world will never know the true facts of what occurred, my motives. The people who had so much to gain and had such an ulterior motive for putting me in the position I'm in will never let the true facts come above board to the world. And then a reporter asked, are these people in very high positions, Jack? And Jack Ruby said, yes. Draw your own conclusions. Draw your own conclusions. Well, this is a anniversary day week, I guess, of the singer Dr. John. Dr. John was born on November 20, 1941. His birth name, by the way, Allison, was not Dr. John. It was Malcolm John Rebenack Jr., born in New Orleans, better known as Dr. John, American singer and songwriter. And his music, I've always liked Dr. John's music. It combined New Orleans blues, jazz, funk, and R&B. He was active as a session musician from the late 1950s until his death in 2019. Typically, his stage show was very lively, very funny, very theatrical. He said he was inspired by medicine shows and Mardi Gras and growing up in New Orleans. He recorded 30 studio albums, 9 live albums, as well as contributing to thousands of other musicians' recordings, including the Beatles, Rolling Stones, a lot of them. And in 1973, he achieved a top 10 hit single with this song, Right Place, Wrong Time. Happy birthday to Dr. John, born November 20, 1941.
Well, while we're talking about music, having a little music interlude, wishing a happy birthday to Dr. John, I have a quiz for Bill.
Oh, boy. I hate these.
I'm going to give you a song. You name the original artist and name the artist who most famously covered it.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
You haven't asked me a question.
I'm sorry. You've got a friend.
You've got a friend. Ringo Starr.
Mm-mm.
You've got a friend. Dr. John.
Did you give up?
Yes.
Okay, the original performer was Carole King, and the cover was James Taylor.
Of course, Carole King. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get the gender right. Of course, I have. There's so many to choose from.
I know. Okay, the next one, the song Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Leonard Cohen wrote it.
Mm-hmm. And he sang it?
He sang it, and it was covered by, among other people, John Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Buckley apparently is the most famous one of the covers.
Jeff Buckley. Didn't we know Jeff Buckley?
John
Buckley. Okay, you're right. He was Bill Buckley's nephew, I think? Cousin?
I think it was cousin.
Cousin, okay.
Okay, the next one. All Along the Watchtower?
Yeah, I know the song vaguely, but I have no idea who sang it.
Bob Dylan, and the cover was Jimi Hendrix.
Mm. Bob Dylan has a black mailbox.
in Malibu.
Kinky told us that.
He did.
Yeah.
Because Kinky's been to his house. Okay, the next song is I Will Always Love You.
That's the song, isn't it?
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
I Will Always Love You. Joe Stafford.
Do you give up?
I give up.
Dolly Parton, and the cover was Whitney Houston.
Must not be the song I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I was going to say that did not sound familiar.
Okay. Do you have anything more to embarrass me about on live radio? Or?
No, that's it. Well, that's good. It for now. I'll probably have more later.
Okay. I will look forward to that.
Do you have anything coming up?
Coming up, we have our woke alert. We look for the worst, most ridiculous thing you can imagine that the woke left is doing. And it's a hard choice to pick among them, let me tell you. But we got one coming up on the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show right after a short break. Stay tuned for some important messages.
Well, welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
Also, our web address is firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, where you can download our podcasts and listen at your leisure. firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Well, meet Argentina's new president. In a sign Argentines were ready for drastic change, libertarian outsider Javier Milei was elected president recently. Mm-hmm. He's a far-right economist with no experience in politics, but a lot of experience as a TV commentator. He has embraced comparisons to former President Trump and pledged to take the struggling country in a radically different direction, including by replacing the peso with the U.S. dollar and shutting down the central bank.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's an anarcho-capitalist, self-described.
And the Washington Post says it's a leap into the unknown. Yeah. But a jump Argentina was willing to take, with inflation soaring above 140% and 2 in 5 residents living in poverty.
Wow, wow, wow. That's amazing. Well, we promised our woke alert, which, as I said, on the Bill and Allison Show, Allison and I look for the worst examples of wokeness that has been going on since we last did a woke alert. And it's a hard choice, but we found this one. So that's the warning. Want to make sure you're awake for this. That's our woke alert warning. Well, here it is. Astronomers are calling for the large and small Magellanic clouds, which are objects in the universe, clouds of stars, called the Magellanic clouds. Astronomers want them to be renamed because they're named after Ferdinand Magellan, Portuguese 16th century Portuguese explorer, and because he has a, quote, violent colonialist legacy. So he has supposedly discovered the clouds during the world's first circumnavigation. I think they can only be seen from South America. I'm not sure about that. But so basically, these lunatics are taking people out of their time period and making them into something that they would not be today. So they, you know, woke makes everything about race. You know, if everything is racist, nothing is racist, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this Professor De Los Reyes said she and a coalition of astronomers are calling for the scientific community to rename the Magellanic Clouds, as well as other astronomical objects, institutions, and facilities that bear his name. This professor says the Magellan had murdered, enslaved, and burned the homes of indigenous people during his circumnavigation while also placing iron manacles on the youngest and best proportioned men. Odd that she would use that language, isn't it? Best proportioned men in what is now Argentina. You know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But she's, I mean, get a life. This happened between 1519 and 1522. We don't even know exactly what happened. I mean, this is woke astronomy at its worst and funniest. But I mean, really, rename the men because it was named after an explorer who wouldn't do those things today, even if he had done them back then, which we don't even know. There's no way to prove it. So anyway, that's our woke alert for the Bill and Allison show today. And I'm just flailing around because I'm looking at so many different stories. I'm never going to get through all the stories that we have.
Well, I have a very cute story.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
I don't know if you will like this, but...
Okay. I never know what Allison comes up with. She doesn't tell me in advance, so...
Barbara Sinatra, who was Frank Sinatra's wife, said, "We were at a dinner party one night when Frank wandered into a guest room to collect his pack of cigarettes from his coat. There he found a producer finishing up a telephone call to a woman. 'I hope she's pretty,' Frank said softly. The producer replied that she was. It was his mother, Susie, who was in poor health in Florida, but still excited about the latest Yankee scores. 'What I wouldn't give for one more telephone call with my mom,' Frank told him wistfully. At his suggestion, they called the producer's mother back and put Frank on the line. 'Is this really Frank Sinatra?' she asked. 'You sound too much like him not to be. I love your voice.' 'Well, I love your voice too, Susie,' Frank said. 'Tell you what, I'm going to call you every Saturday night at 6 o'clock and we'll chew over the Yankees performance, okay?' He kept his promise and never missed a Saturday evening to call her until the day she died. He sent flowers to her on Mother's Day and to other widowed mothers in the same hospital. Frank added her name to his list of lonely women he'd call on a regular basis. Few believed them when they claimed that old Blue Eyes was a frequent caller, but they knew the truth, and that was all that mattered."
That's a cute story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little story about Frank Sinatra.
I know you do.
I was 14 years old, I believe, and my parents took me on vacation, which is a wonderful thing to do for a kid, to travel and see other places that, so you're not sheltered. And this, however, was kind of, you would say, sheltered. We were in the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami Beach, and I was in the lobby. I wasn't with my parents, and Frank Sinatra walks through the lobby. And he's surrounded by these guys. To me, they looked about 10 feet tall. But, I just went up to him anyway. And I said, I remember exactly what I said because I researched it in my mind. The most polite thing I could possibly express it. Mr. Sinatra, may I have your autograph, please? And he said to me, well, kid, I only give out one autograph a day, and when I came out of the elevator just now, there's this girl there, and she wanted my autograph, so I gave her my autograph, and I said I only give one a day, and right now I'm on my way across the lobby to hear this girl singer, which people call her girl singer, this girl singer that people talk about, and I wanted to see her. And he said, sorry or something. And, I thought at the time, if he could have given me probably 10 autographs in that period of time. So it wasn't like a time issue for him. But that was my experience with Frank Sinatra. So,
while we're on the subject of singers,
yeah.
Some fans have been camping out near a Buenos Aires stadium for 5 months to ensure they'll get front row seats for Taylor Swift's stop in Argentina.
Holy mackerel.
In her tour, Cruel Summer.
5 months?
Yeah. Well, they probably take turns.
There are certain things you need to do over time that you can't be sitting on the sidewalk.
You mean like work?
Yeah, that's one of them. Wow.
Okay. I'm sure you know this. Texas A&M fired head football coach Jimbo Fisher, and they will have to pay him the more than $76 million remaining on his contract through 2031.
Wow. How about that? Wow. Wow, I bet he's glad he got fired.
Yeah, really.
I'll say, man. Well, we've got an audio clip from a congressman. You may have seen this on national TV, but I've got a little... The Bill and Allison Show goes behind the news to find out stuff you don't hear about on national TV or radio, for that matter. Congressman Daniel Goldman, a New York Democrat, far-left Democrat, was involved in the impeachment. It was a leader in the impeachment of President Trump, by the way. Said on CNN on Jen Psaki's show.
Jen Psaki.
I just love that. Sounds like a karate call.
Jen Psaki.
Anyway, Jen Psaki's show on CNN. He said that Trump should be, quote, eliminated. Eliminated. Boy, has he gotten all the blowback from that. Of course, he tried to walk it back, but you can't. I mean, you said it, right? Now, well, let's... Here, hear for yourself what he said, and then I'll come back and give you the news behind the news.
But his rhetoric is really getting dangerous, more and more dangerous. And we saw what happened on January 6th when he uses inflammatory rhetoric. Now, and his recent Truth Social post is incredibly, incredibly scary for anyone that might be trying to work in government. And it is just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Yeah, that's Congressman Daniel Goldman calling for the elimination of Donald Trump. And he says Trump is a danger to our democracy? You're calling for an assassination, you tyrant. Well, Daniel Goldman, we found out, is among the wealthiest members of Congress. Now, his personal net worth is over $250 million.
Wow.
$250 million. Now, I got to ask, how do you get so wealthy?
That was going to be my first question.
Now, he is an heir to a fortune, okay? But that doesn't count. That's not all of it. As President Truman said, if anybody gets rich in public office, they're crooks. I'll leave it at that. He went to Sidwell Friends School in D.C.
Which is a very prestigious school.
Oh, yeah. I just looked up the tuition for Sidwell mm-hmm. Friends School. For pre-kindergarten up to second grade, $47,000 a year. And then over second grade, second to whenever they run out of grades, $51,650 a year to send your kid
to kindergarten.
No, well, it's only $47,000 to send your kid to pre-K up to second grade. But he went to Sidwell Friends, then he went to Yale, then he got his law degree at Stanford. He's the guy who publicly calls for the assassination of a former president. Well, speaking of President Trump, we thought you'd enjoy a little short clip from Tucker.
Millions of Americans sincerely love Donald Trump. They love him in spite of everything they've heard. They love him often in spite of himself. They love Donald Trump because no one else loves them. The country they built, the country their ancestors fought for over hundreds of years, has left them to die in their unfashionable little towns, mocked and despised by the sneering halfwits with finance degrees but no actual skills who seem to run everything all of a sudden. Whatever Donald Trump's faults, he is better than the rest of the people in charge. At least he doesn't hate them for their weakness. Donald Trump, in other words, is and has always been a living indictment of the people who run this country. That was true 4 years ago when Trump came out of nowhere to win the presidency, and it's every bit as true right now. Trump rose because they failed. It's as simple as that. If the people in charge had done a halfway decent job with the country they inherited, if they'd cared about anything other than themselves, even for just a moment, Donald Trump would still be hosting Celebrity Apprentice. But they didn't. Instead, they were incompetent, and narcissistic and cruel and relentlessly dishonest. They wrecked what they didn't build. They lied about it. They hurt anyone who told the truth about what they were doing. That's true. We watched. America is still a great country, the best in the world, but our ruling class is disgusting. A vote for Trump is a vote against them. That's what's going on in this country.
Make me happy. Okay. Coming up after this quick break, we're going to tell you what might have killed the dinosaurs.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Before the break, we told you that we have some news about what might have killed dinosaurs, and that would be dust. It turns out that dinosaurs may not have gone out with a bang, but with a slow suffocation. A new analysis of prehistoric particles in what's now North Dakota indicates that the huge meteor that hit Earth sent trillions of tons of soot and sulfur into the air, blocking out the sun and shutting down photosynthesis for almost 2 years. So that the mass extinction of the dinosaurs was often thought to have been resulted from the meteor, but now they think that it was just dust that wiped out 75% of the dinosaurs living many years ago.
Well, you know what the lunatic, this should be a woke alert, the lunatic idea of Bill Gates and a bunch of other crazy leftists is to block out the sun by doing that, by putting some sort of dusty chemical in the air to block out part of the sun's rays because of global warming. And that's crazy. I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen when you do something like that. It's insane. It's playing God, and people who play God don't win. Don't win.
You don't mock God.
Yeah, don't be doing that. Well, Massachusetts Institute of Technology issued a statement this week. There was a basically a riot at MIT. By Muslims and sympathizers with Hamas, explaining an MIT did not follow through on its threat to suspend students involved in these anti-Semitic hate events on campus. Why? Do you know why, Allison? You probably don't.
I don't.
MIT said they didn't follow through on their threat to suspend students involved in anti-Semitic demonstrations and near riots, let's put it that way. Well, said that they were concerned the students could be deported.
Wow. But why not deport them?
Yeah. I mean, the Jewish and Israeli students on campus at MIT said they were scared for their physical safety. They were prevented from going to class because of this demonstration, anti-Semitic demonstration. But MIT said the students involved in doing this will remain enrolled at MIT, will be able to attend academic classes and labs. Now, according to MIT, they admitted there had been, quote, considerable speculation that, quote, many of the students at the forefront of the anti-Israel protest on campuses across the country are not U.S. citizens. So why not deport them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. President Trump said in Iowa last month he would, quote, revoke the student visas of radical anti-American and anti-Semitic foreigners at our colleges and universities. We will send them straight back home. You know, these radical Muslims, I mean, think about this. They hate Jews, Christians, atheists, gays, dogs, bacon, wine, beer, any kind of alcohol. They hate our civilization. They hate Western civilization. They hate Western culture. They hate our traditions. They hate our country. They hate us. But they complain about Islamophobia. But, you know, we talked to this before, Allison. And the question in both of our minds is, why are Muslim radicals and young leftists marching on college campuses and rioting? Mm-hmm. I mean, why Muslims?
Why are they so anti-Semitic?
Well, yeah, question. Exactly. Well, I'm going to, I think I've got something on that for. Actually, this is not originally from me. It was something on WLTReport.com. The person who wrote it is David Kupelan. Kupelian, looks like. Anyway. Pretty much everything Islamists believe, such as I said, they hate Jews, they hate Christians, homosexuals should be executed by being bound, blindfolded, and thrown off a tall building, women should be slaves of men, and so on and on and on. That's diametrically opposed to everything leftists believe. Well, almost everything. There's one area of agreement that's so powerful, deep-seated, and all-consuming that the rest of the two populations, Muslims and leftists, their vast differences melt away. Both camps, now we're talking about demonically possessed jihadists and angry, deluded, and entitled left-wing radicals, hate Christians and Jews. Now, why is that? Because just beneath that hatred of Christians and Jews, both Islamics supporters and Marxist true believers are possessed by an all-consuming spiritual revulsion toward the God of the Bible and his laws. So, radical terrorist Muslims and smug, entitled, narcissistic, perpetually enraged, and thoroughly brainwashed leftists, the kind that populate America's elite universities and as students and professors, are these terrorist Muslims are seemingly of one mind with regard to the current war on against Israel and hatred of the Jews. So in these two groups, shared rejection of Christian, Judeo-Christian values, of biblical truth and Western culture, there's this weird brotherhood. Okay, I mean, it can be summed up this way. Radical Islam wants to rule the world and is at war with Christians and Jews. Leftism wants to rule the world and is at war with Christians and Jews. Mm-hmm. The enemy of your enemy is your friend. So both of these cults, religious cults, Islamism and woke leftism, encourage lying and deception. Now, they're at war, and they believe that, okay, the Islamic name for strategic lying is taqiyya, which according to Sharia law in the Quran, which I have read and I recommend everybody read it, it clearly points out kill Christians. There's no, I mean, it's right there, kill Christians, several places. The only thing good about the Quran is that each chapter is shorter than the preceding one. But everybody should read it. But Sharia law in the Quran is not, lying is not merely permitted, but it's sometimes required. Required. You're sinning if you don't lie to Christians and Jews. Now, meanwhile, left-wing politicians from Biden on down continuously justify this by, they lie continuously, and they justify their lies by demonizing Republicans and conservatives as enemies and white supremacists and fascists and Nazis and domestic terrorists. So this is really bizarre on the surface, but at the deepest level, radical Muslims and Marxists, though superficially they would seem to be opposites because, you know, the one wants to kill homosexuals and enslave women, and the other is pro-homosexual and pro-feminism, and we have 1,000 genders and all that stuff. So superficially, these radical Muslims, Islamists, and Marxists, superficially you'd say, oh, they're opposite. No, they share a common mindset. They hate Jews and Christians because we are people of the book. We believe in the God of the Bible. So although both Islamists and Marxists were created as potential children of God, so they have an innate knowing of right and wrong, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, everybody's born knowing the difference between right and wrong. Everybody's born with a conscience, is what Scripture says. However, both these radical Islamists and Marxists exist in a state of war with the God of the Bible and with truth. So they're on the same side spiritually, and that's more important to them. In this state, lies are attractive, while truth is repellent, foreign, and threatening. So both of these groups project wildly. They accuse their enemies of the very evils they themselves commit. For example, the latest one, with thousands and thousands, is remember when Islamist Hamas accused Israel of bombing hospitals when they were responsible for bombing the hospitals? And that came out later? So that was just in the last few weeks. So in the same way, the left continually accuses President Trump, Republicans, conservatives, and Christians of all the evil that they themselves commit, because they are evil. They are demonically influenced, if not outright possessed. It's the same dark nature the radical left and radical Islamists have. Though the specific programming is completely different. One believes in a false god, the Muslims, and the other believes in no god but themselves, the leftists. Both equally deny and indeed are at war with the one true God. Doesn't that explain it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Doesn't that explain it?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not mine. This is David Kupelian of WLTReport.com. But I thought that was very insightful and answered a lot of questions that I know I have had about how can the left and these radical Muslims support each other and be so anti-Semitic and anti-Christian. There's your answer right there. They hate Jews. Well, at least the Islamists, as I said, hate Jews, Christians, atheists, gays, dogs, bacon, wine, beer, alcohol, our civilization, our culture, our traditions, our country, and us. And then they complain about Islamophobia. Yeah. Well, we are wrapping up, are we not?
We are.
And so many stories we didn't get to that we'll have to wait for next Saturday.
You'll have to tune in next Saturday to hear them.
8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We are Bill and Allison Mencaro, and we're happy to be here, and we're happy you hopefully enjoy the program and listen. Mm-hmm. So, one line that somebody said about rioters. We're talking about these riots on MIT, all sorts of college campuses. Somebody said, so rioters say country folk are next? Now, you do realize country folk will sit 30 feet up in a tree all day just to kill something. So, come on, boy. Come on. Let's see what happens. Oh, man. But again, we are Bill and Allison. And let's see. Don't forget, today is Family Free Day at the Museum of Western Art in Kerrville. And Friends of the Library book sale from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Kerrville at the Bud Holdsworth Library. Happy Tales Entertainment and Petting Zoo today from 1 to 3 at the Bandera Natural History Museum. So some of the events going on today. Well, stay tuned for Clay and Buck.
Clay and Buck coming up.
Clay and Buck are coming
right up next.
Right at us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.